Good morning, I'm John Byers, and it's a joy to welcome you to worship at Conyers First United Methodist Church. This morning, I'm concluding my short series I've entitled Love in Action with a big question. Are you an encourager or a discourager in your relationships? I wonder, what do others think about you? This afternoon, I'd like you to go home and do something that may be revealing, may even be uncomfortable. Talk to your significant other. Call your best friend and ask, by nature, what effect do I have on you? Do I build up your courage with my word? Or do I suck the very hope out of you by my discouragement? We're looking for the third week at a marvelous passage, an insight from the heart of God through St. Paul about how we affect other people. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning. And if you would be so kind, turn with me into the New Testament to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And in verse 1, I want you to notice these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. St. Paul says, knowledge puffs up while love builds up. And now I'm really proud to serve a congregation with such people of intelligence. Men and women who have really applied themselves. Study to show yourself approved unto God. I am grateful for the quality of the members of this church. I'm even more pleased with the number of people who have enrolled in Disciple Bible Study, women passionately involved in Bible study fellowship, all kinds of Wednesday night and Sunday night study courses. Knowledge is great. But St. Paul gives us who are so blessed with knowledge, so blessed with intelligence, an important warning. Knowledge alone has the capacity to make us arrogant. Knowledge alone has the capacity to make us think that we are the center of the universe. Knowledge alone sometimes makes us so confident that we come across as belittling of others, critical of others, condescending to others. In this third part of this series, I want to draw the important connection between knowledge, right believing, and love, right behaving. So would you journey with me this morning in God's Word? Now, Paul didn't come up with this idea. This idea of love in action, knowledge in action, is the product of Jesus. If you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, would you take just a minute and turn back with me in your New Testaments to John chapter 13. Jesus is gathering with his disciples for a final time just before he gives his life for you and me on the cross. And he gives this important instruction in John 13 verses 34 and 35. I'd like for you to underline these verses in your Bible. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, we have completely messed up the understanding of love in our day, in our society. The old King James word is really a whole lot better, charity, except we've misunderstood charity as well. The concept of love in this context is giving to others what we have received ourselves. And if we're followers of Jesus and we've received the power of his forgiveness, then what are we supposed to do? Reflect that forgiveness. If we have been given the gift of hope to restore our lives, then we are to give away the gift of hope. If we have received the gift of encouragement to keep on keeping on another day, then we're called to give the gift of encouragement. Today, I'd like to equate the word love with encouragement and suggest to you that there is someone in your life that God has appointed you to be the word of encouragement. Jesus says in John 13, verses 34 and 35, that we are to embody His love. Jesus says about His people that if someone were to come into our gathering who has never heard of Jesus, who does not know Jesus at all, that they would experience Jesus' love in action. I wonder if a stranger came in off the street into this worship service, would they experience God's love in action here? Would they be welcomed? Would they be embraced? Would there be a word of hope extended? Or would there be a stare down the nose? Would there be a distance from someone who is different? I am so grateful to see the way God is working in our hearts and lives and making us into people of encouragement. Interesting, Jesus didn't say, by your knowledge, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't even say, by your good works, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Jesus says specifically, by your love in action, they, the unbelieving world, will know that you are my disciples. So this morning, I want to say a good word for the ministry of encouragement, supernatural, Holy Spirit, encouragement in the life of other people. St. Paul talks a lot about the giftedness that we receive as believers, and I hope that you're growing into your giftedness. Do you know you were purchased for a reason? Purchased with a purpose? We've looked very quickly this morning already at 1 Corinthians 8, then John 13. Would you move back forward with me again to 1 Corinthians 12? And in 1 Corinthians 12, St. Paul is rejoicing in the good news for every born-again believer, for every blood-bought servant of God, for every Holy Spirit-empowered person. There is a supernatural purpose for you. God has a supernatural gift for ministry in your life. By the way, have you come to discover that yet? Your experience of faith, your experience of true satisfaction, your experience of fulfillment in life is directly tied to your capacity to discern, develop, and deploy your spiritual gift. But Paul gives warning here. Your spiritual gift is not just to puff you up. Now, I have to be honest, I've known some puffed up Christians. You know, they got the Holy Spirit like nobody else got it. And they got the Holy Spirit so good that they can speak in a spiritual language and they can and you can't. Look at me. St. Paul always makes the connection about the affect we have on each other. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. What does St. Paul say? What does St. Paul say? To each, that's each born-again believer, is given, not might be, not could be, but is given the gift, the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Why? For what purpose? For the common good. God has not saved you and empowered you for you. God has saved you and empowered you for us, the body of Christ, the greatest force for good on the face of the earth. Therefore, I believe for Spirit-led believers, we must constantly be asking ourselves this question: how can I be used to build up the people around me? Do you have a builder upper in your life? I bet you have a terror downer in your life. Do you know what it's like to be caught in the grip of negativity? Do you know what it's like to have a boss or a spouse or a so-called friend that looks for every opportunity to put you down? Looks for every opportunity to point out a flaw in you, why you are not quite good enough. Hey, I have those kind of people in my life. That's why I need the word of St. Paul, that there needs to be somebody in everyone's life who is a builder upper. I wonder if you're willing to take on the mantle of building up other people in the name of Jesus Christ. I read Christian blogs on the internet, and that's a two-edged sword. I am amazed at the number of blogs I read where believers fiercely eat up, and tear down other believers. It is no wonder the unbelieving world says, see why I'm not a believer? See how those believers devour one another? And I believe that breaks the heart of God. Christ died to give us words to build others up. Christ died to give us knowledge from our fingers that build other people up. I wonder, what effect do your words have in the life of other people? Now, just one other passage I want us to look at right quick. You're in 1 Corinthians 12. Would you just look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you've probably heard if you've ever been to a Christian wedding, but let's not just keep that for a wedding text. Let's dig into it. Paul is talking about the real power of a supernatural, spirit-led man or woman in Christ. This is the great love chapter. And St. Paul extols the virtue of spiritual knowledge and spiritual power and spiritual insight, but he doesn't stop with extolling spiritual achievement. He asks the question, so what? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I want you to look specifically at verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, the next three words are an indictment. What are the next three words? I am nothing. Do you know how bad that hurts? Have you ever had anyone in your life in a condescending, unkind way say, you are a nothing? And you will never be anything more than a nothing. St. Paul is using pretty powerful language to say right believing is not enough unless right believing leads to right behaving. And right behaving must always have a tone of encouragement. Knowledge is important, but it is not enough. St. Paul teaches us that knowledge without love is nothing. So St. Paul teaches us today that our calling in life, our purpose in life is this. Love looks to build up rather than tear down. Now, can you stop for just a second and really step outside yourself and analyze your relationships with others? And I want you specifically to look at your most intimate relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your significant other. And I want you to see yourself talking to him or her. Do the words that come out of your mouth tend to build up or tear down? If you're not sure about that, I'd really like for you to get in a quiet place with your spouse and honestly ask, honey, am I living the true life of Christ and building you up? Or am I letting my own unresolved issues of life, my own unhappiness with me, my own issues with my own self-worth, tear you down? Will you encourage me that I can encourage you?
I think about a great encourager in my life. His name is Dr. Dick Freeman. He was the senior minister of my church when I was in college. And he, more than anybody else, was used of God to speak encouragement into my life when I was wrestling with my vocation. Now, I had already determined my profession. I determined what I was going to educate myself to be able to do. I was going to be an attorney. And I was going to be a good one. Except I had this gnawing sense that what I wanted to do is not what God wanted me to do. And I was struggling with that. Dick Freeman got a hold of me one day, and we sat down and talked. Now, you have to understand, Dick Freeman was reared in West Texas in the oil rig days, the wildcatting days, and he was a Texan and had the boots and the belt to prove it. He had the hat and the voice, and yet he was one of the most encouraging Christians I've ever met. And you have to understand how Texans talk. They talk kind of straight to you. He went with a group of us in the college department to drive to Six Flags from Waco, Texas to Dallas, Texas one summer's afternoon, and by the providence of God, I got to sit by Dick. Now, sitting by Dick was like sitting by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, he was a man that had been such an encourager to me. And he just looked at me and said, "Boy," now you have to be a Texan to understand that that's a very familiar, encouraging term. "Boy, Lord's got a call on your life, doesn't he?" "Reverend Freeman, how'd you know?" Well, in the 25 years, Dick Freeman was the senior minister of that church, more than 30 men and women came to realize that they had a call of God on their life. Dick was just a spiritually discerning man who had the capacity to speak faith into the lives of young men and women. And I said, "Yes, sir." And that one word of encouragement absolutely changed the entire direction of my life. Now, I'd like to hasten to say that that power to speak faith and hope into another person's life is not reserved just to clergy. Please hear me say that. In fact, it is the calling of every believer to speak faith, speak hope, speak encouragement. We already have enough discouraging messages around us. God has someone chosen for you into whom he wants you to act with love and speak encouragement into their life. Do you believe, as I believe, that one conversation, one word, one idea can change the life of a human being? Change his or her future, change his or her outlook. I'm here to tell you today, yes, it is absolutely possible, because it happened to me as a junior at Baylor University, because one blood-bought, spirit-filled man heard the word of God. Love builds up. And he committed his life to building others up. I wonder, do I build people up? I have to wrestle with that. I know where my weaknesses are. Let me tell you about some of my weaknesses in case you haven't discerned them already. I have a really hard time saying no to people. And because I have a really hard time saying no, I'm always running short on time. I'm always running behind. And people sense that in me, that I'm always just about 3 or 4 days behind. And sometimes that comes across as being rushed. Sometimes that comes across as not wanting to be involved. Funny how that works. I want to say so yes to so many people. I'm in such a rush to say yes to so many people that I don't give my soul time to catch up with my calendar and really be able to speak a word of encouragement to the person who happens to be right in front of me. Maybe you've been caught up in that rush. I'd like to just say, I'm sorry about that. I'm working to deal with my own issues about not being able to say no the way I need to say no. Dealing with my own issues about sometimes I just get flat worn out. And when I get worn out, you'll know it. Why? Because I'm short. I don't like being short with others. Now, I'm trying to reveal a little bit of myself, hoping that you'll reveal a little bit about yourself. That you'll see maybe where you've allowed circumstances to push you to be short, maybe to be critical. You know a lot, but it comes out in a condescending, unkind, ungracious kind of a way. Have you ever been to the hospital and noticed that when you go into surgery, everybody wears a mask? It's supposed to be a filter, I think, isn't it? It's supposed to be a filter to keep certain things in that don't need to get out. Right? I wonder if you and I could imagine every day getting up and putting on a certain kind of a mask and saying, God, I know that there's still a residue of a fallen person in me. And I know if I'm pushed, if my buttons are pushed just right, that sometimes I can let certain things go out that should not go out, that need to be filtered. Oh God, Holy Spirit, would you be the filter for my life so that I might truly live into St. Paul's admonition? Knowledge is not enough. In fact, knowledge puffs up, tends to make us arrogant, self-centered, overly self-confident. Sometimes knowledge can turn us into jerks. But love in action, encouragement in action, always builds up. So this morning I ask you again, are you a terror downer, or are you a builder upper? The choice is entirely yours. Here's what I'd like for you to internalize and think about today. Ask yourself this question. What one thing will I do this week to build someone up? One thing. One word, one action to build someone up. Then I want you to take it a step farther and not just think about it in a global sense, but think about it in a specific sense. Who is that one person? Ask God. Who is that one person who desperately needs a godly word of encouragement? And commit today before the Lord that before this week is out, I will speak encouragement, love in action, encouragement into his life. Encouragement into her life. Then stand back and see what God will do with that word of encouragement. Now, we cannot give what we have not received, right? And this morning we come to celebrate as a community of faith Holy Communion. And we who come in the historic Orthodox liturgical tradition believe that Holy Communion is more than a simple memorial reminder that Jesus and the guys got together to celebrate the Passover for one last time. We believe with the historic church that the power, the encouragement that Jesus spoke to the disciples 2,000 years ago in an upper room in Jerusalem is by transmission of the Holy Spirit available to you and me today. And that God, through the Holy Spirit, uses the tokens of bread and wine, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, to be tangible, tasteful reminders of how good he is Maybe you find it difficult to speak a word of encouragement into someone else's life because you feel so discouraged. Maybe it's difficult for you to build somebody else up because you feel so torn down. Maybe it's difficult for you to see life as a glass half full because every time you turn around, you feel like you are just half empty. Today is the day. This is the moment. The hymn writer put it this way: feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven. Bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. I'm coming today to be fed. I hope you will too. I'm coming today to be encouraged, that I might encourage others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In your worship folder is the liturgy for Holy Communion. I invite you to turn with me there. The purpose of having a formal service of Holy Communion is not just simply to have words to speak, but if you will really study this liturgy, ask yourself, what does this say about the character of God, the unchangeable character of God? What does this say about human need? And what does this say about God's commitment to bridge the gap, to speak faith into our lives? Even though we're in a very informal service, I still fit the stole of ordination about my neck at Holy Communion. Why? Is it just because I'm a high churchman? No, not really. I'm just aware that I don't have anything to give you unless I am first yoked to Jesus the Master. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm asking to learn from Jesus that I might point the way to him. Hear now this gracious invitation to Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him and seek to grow into his likeness. Let us draw near with faith, make our humble confession, and prepare to receive this holy sacrament. Let us pray together, saying, we do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own goodness, but in your unfailing mercies. We are not worthy that you should receive us, but give your word, and we shall be healed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words the Scriptures say to all who truly turn to the Lord. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that? Have you confessed your sin? Are you ready to be cleansed? And brothers and sisters, based on the authority of the matchless Word of God, and my office as a minister in his church, I have the enormous joy of declaring that you and I are forgiven people. I want to make sure you heard that. You and I are forgiven people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And as the forgiven children of God, I can say to you with great joy, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ, offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. In the breaking of the bread, the early church called it the fraction. That's a more graphic word, isn't it? Fraction speaks of something whole that has been broken. The body of Christ, whole, pierced for our sins, pierced for our transgressions. The prophet Isaiah, my favorite Old Testament prophet, speaks at length about the coming ministry of the suffering servant. What a title! What a name! Isaiah chapter 53 particularly speaks of his ministry. Hundreds of years before the coming of Christ, God inspires Isaiah to write in a way that is perfectly fulfilled in Jesus. Listen to these words. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He, the chastisement for our peace, was upon him. Then don't miss these words. And by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Somebody ought to say amen. I make a big deal about the breaking of the bread. You've noticed that. Because I want to make a big deal about what Jesus has done to snap the curse of discouragement in your life. Snap the curse of condemnation in your life. Snap the curse of a condescending, self-centered, arrogant attitude in your life. So, brothers and sisters, it's with great joy that I break the bread. Hallelujah. St. Paul said, Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah. I invite you to join me in speaking this ancient hymn of praise. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. And it is the peace of God that passes all understanding that is offered at this holy table today. A word of instruction. First of all, this table belongs to the Lord, not to the church. And therefore, this table is open to anyone who comes, regardless of church membership, with a simple desire to grow into his likeness, a simple desire to be fed by his grace. If you would be so kind, what I'd like for you to do is depart from your row out the side. I know you want to come. No, go this way and circle around and come forward, and then we don't have the traffic jam. Then, you know, I'm all into germ stuff, so I invite you to receive just a little holy dollop of hand sanitizer. Because we do share in a common cup, not in drinking, but in dipping together out of a common cup. And I want us to have just a little bit of a, I just feel better already, don't you? After you come, maybe you'd just like to pause for a minute here kneeling at the cross and just say, Lord, break the curse of arrogance in me. Give me a ministry of encouragement. After you use your hand sanitizer, if you just come with your hand open, receive a consecrated wafer, then Brother Stanley will have the chalice and dip it ever so gently into the chalice. And then in faith, receive these two holy tokens of God's goodness and grace into your life. So, are you ready? Would you rise, depart around, and come now to the table of the Lord? I invite you to join me in the prayer of thankful dedication as together we say, Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It would mean a lot to me if you'd find the white connection card in your worship folder and take just a moment to fill it out. I'd like to know of your presence. On the back side is an opportunity for you to respond to the Word of God by memorizing the truth that knowledge puffs up, but love always builds up. Maybe you'd be willing to make a commitment before the Lord to say, I am going to be a source of encouragement for so-and-so. Write it down. Make a commitment. I am going to offer a word of building up into somebody else's life. I'd like you to take a minute and fill that out. Also like for you to prepare your morning offering. You know, we have been given so much. And I can always tell how a believer is growing and maturing in his or her faith. The maturing Christian says a lot about what I've done and says a whole lot more about what he's done. I'm to the place in my life that I know that everything I have is a gift from the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, when the Bible says that God asks for a dime for every dollar, I think that's a pretty good deal. You mean I get to keep 90%? Yeah. A dime for every dollar to say, Lord, I thank you for all the blessings of life. A dime for every dollar that says, Lord, I want to empower your church with the message of hope. Thank you for your faithfulness. There's a little financial update on the front of the worship folder, just keeping you involved. Before I call for the ushers to come forward, I received several calls this week because, unfortunately, the very popular Fox News commentator, Glenn Beck, has leveled on two occasions some very incorrect and very disparaging comments about the United Methodist Church and its relationship to the nation of Israel. Now, perhaps I'm revealing a little of my political bias here, but I am very, very concerned about the Obama administration's relationship with the nation of Israel. Let me be very clear. No civilization that has stood against the nation of Israel throughout all of human history has survived. The nation of Israel, the covenant people of God, are very close to the heart of God. And I am very concerned about our tenuous relationship with the nation of Israel. Glenn Beck has made some comments about the Methodist Church, and they are simply incorrect. I have prepared a leaflet for any who are interested, and I've simply laid it here, that is actually a response from a San Antonio rabbi. I thought that'd be somebody to listen to, somebody who is actually a part of the Old Testament covenant, who happens to be very involved with Texas Methodism. And if you're interested more in a broader understanding of the complex relationships between the church and the Jewish people, I would invite you to pick up a leaflet. He ends his blog, this rabbi, by simply saying, when it comes to the relationship between the United Methodist Church and the nation of Israel, the state of the union is strong. I hope that you will pick that up. As the music continues to play, I invite our ushers to come forward to receive our morning offering and for you to deposit your connection card. Have you been set free by the love of Jesus? If you have any question about that, I would be honored to help you get that relationship settled for sure. God says in the book of Numbers, I want my people marked. I want my people to know that they know that they know that they know that they belong to me. So would you please rise for the benediction and receive the seal, the sign, the mark of salvation, the cross of Jesus. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance. Countenance, by the way, means expression. And I choose to interpret the countenance of my Heavenly Father as his healing and approving smile. And best yet, give you peace. Perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen, and good morning.